Well, good morning and welcome. It's good to see everyone. If you're a visitor today, we're especially glad that you've chosen to worship with us. There will be refreshments in the foyer immediately following the service, and all are invited to attend. The next Women's Bible Study will begin this week on April 23rd. Session times are Tuesday, 10 a.m. and 6:30 p.m., and Thursday, 10 a.m. The study is entitled Good Boundaries and Goodbyes, Loving Others Without Losing the Best of Who You Are. See Dale Fedor if you are interested in attending or need more detail. The Fellowship Committee is planning a Mother's Day brunch on May 4th at 10 a.m. All ladies and girls are invited, and there's a sign-up sheet on the welcome desk. A community outreach group is formed to welcome new families to the area with gift baskets and information about our church. If you know of a new family in your area, please see Sue Fox, Barbara Peterson, or me, and we will reach out to them. More Power, an event for men and male teens, will be held on Saturday, May 18th from 3 to 7 here at the church. You can sign up at the welcome desk or see Tim Fox or Larry Finney for more details. Looking ahead, the Kilcos will be with us next week, and there will be a hymn sing at the church on Sunday, May 5th at 6:30. Please read your bulletin carefully for information regarding the regular weekly meetings. Thank you.
Good morning. Let's open our service up with a word of prayer. God, we thank you and praise you for who you are to us and the love that you've shown to us. I pray that this service this morning would just be something honoring and pleasing to you and encouraging to us as we go throughout our day. I pray all these things in your son's name. Amen.
Good morning, church family. Will you please stand and let's thank God for his love that endures forever. Please stand.
Above all things, his love endures forever. with trumpet sound. Oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, all as you stand before the throne. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong in the Savior's love. Through the storm, he is Lord, Lord of all. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong in the Savior's love. Through the storm, he is Lord, Lord of all.
Amen. Please be seated.
And Lord, as we gather before you this morning, Lord, we acknowledge that you are the cornerstone, that you are the foundation for all everything that we have in life, that through the storm we know that you are the Lord of all. And Lord, it's in your name that we gather together as people who want to worship you, want to honor you, want to glorify your great name. And Lord, we do just pray that that's what we do this morning with our words, with our actions, that we would honor and glorify you. Lord, it's in your name that we just bring these requests before you. We do continue to pray for Sharon Miller and everything he's doing to recover, Lord. We do just pray for him physically, that he would continue to recover. We do also pray for Sherman and the entire Miller family at the passing of Sherm's father, Lord. We do just pray that you would surround them with your love, surround them with your comfort at this time, that you would be with them during this time in their lives, Lord, that you would be the one to comfort. Lord, we do continue to pray for Arlene, Lord, as she's going to be having more meetings with doctors this week, getting plans made for the next steps, Lord. We do just pray for wisdom. We pray for guidance for her and for the doctors, that they would know exactly what to do. We do continue to pray for Joanne Jones, Lord, as she's had her first cataract this past week, is going to be having another one this upcoming week. Lord, we do just pray that everything would go smoothly with that. We do pray for Linda, Kelly Peterson's mom. Lord, we praise you that she's doing better, but we do just continue to pray for healing and for upcoming doctor's appointments for her. Lord, we do pray for Dan Baldwin, Lord, as he's going to be having surgery done this week, Lord. We just pray that everything would go smoothly with that, that there wouldn't be any complications, but just everything would go as smoothly as it could be, and we pray for a quick recovery for him. We do pray for Donna Plummer's friend, Candy, Lord. We praise you that she might be able to come home soon, Lord, and we do just pray again for healing for her. We do also pray for Ed Plummer's mom, Rotha, Lord. We just pray for her. She's just being made comfortable, Lord. We pray just for your comfort, for your peace during this time, for not just Rotha, but for the whole family. Lord, we do just pray for Jessica, a cousin of Carol, and Priscilla, Lord, we do just pray for her as she is just continuing to meet with doctors and trying to figure out exactly what's going on. We pray for wisdom for the doctors, that they would know exactly what to do with just her medical issue. Lord, we do just pray for her. Lord, we do as well pray for Pam and Randy Sayer's daughter, Lord, Charlene. Lord, she's just been diagnosed with cancer. We do just pray for wisdom for the doctors and for her and the family, Lord, just with these next steps, Lord. We do just pray that you would give guidance there. And Lord, ultimately, Lord, we pray for healing. Lord, we pray that things would be able to get taken care of quickly and for her, Lord, and that there would be a quick healing. And Lord, we do just continue to pray for those working the outage. Lord, we just pray for any of those working long hours right now, that you would just continue to give them endurance and strength. And Lord, we do just pray that you would sustain them during this time. Lord, we do as well continue to pray for Israel, Lord, and we just pray for them in this very volatile situation that they're in with Iran, and Lord, we do just pray for peace and for healing in the area, Lord, and we do as well pray for protection for Israel, for American troops that are in that area, Lord. We do just pray that you would surround them with your protection. And Lord, we do specifically think of Daniel Croce. Lord, we do just pray for him as he's serving in the Middle East area, Lord. We do just pray for safety for him as well. Lord, we do continue to pray for our missionaries of the month, the Paths, Lord, down in Belize. Lord, we do just continue to pray that you would bless their ministry, just help them to just continue to impact people with your word, and we pray that you would just help them as they prepare for their summer camps programs that they're going to be running this summer. Lord, again, we do just praise you for all of these things, Lord, and we praise you for this time that we have to gather before you and worship. And Lord, as we continue that time, as we continue to worship you, Lord, I pray that you would be our focus, that you would be our goal this morning. We pray all these things in your name. Amen.
As we continue to sing, if there are any children who are in first, second, or third grade, you are dismissed now for youth church. Please stand.
I will be reading from Matthew 7, verses 24 through 29. It's Matthew 7, verses 24 through 29. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, because he taught as one who had authority, and not as their teachers of the law.
Well, good morning. How's everyone doing this morning? Let's open up with a word of prayer. Lord, we do just praise you for this morning, and we praise you now for the chance that we have to approach your word. Lord, it's something we don't take for granted, Lord, that we have this opportunity to approach your word this morning. And Lord, I pray that we would seize this opportunity, that we would take this opportunity to really hear what you have to say to us this morning. Lord, we do just pray all these things in your name. Amen. One of the most amazing pieces of architecture ever built was the Leaning Tower of Pisa. And what's actually interesting about it is that it wasn't designed to be leaning, right? It was, when it was first started being built in 1178 AD, they weren't building it to be leaning. In fact, it wasn't until they had built three stories that they noticed that it was leaning in the first place. But they continued to build it. They built 8 stories tall, this tower, and it had this slight lean, but the thing is, it continued to lean over time. And over the course of the past 800 years, it has continued to lean at the rate of 0.05 inches per year, which over 1 year is not that big of a deal, but over 800 years is quite a big deal. And it had gotten to the point where it was leaning at an angle of 5.5 degrees, and in 1990, they realized that if they don't do something soon, the whole tower is going to topple over. So in 1990, they created this whole project in order to straighten it back up a little bit, and they did. They straightened it back up so that it wouldn't topple over. But the question that we've got to ask is, why is it leaning in the first place? And the answer is because it had a poor foundation. The foundation that was built was only about 9 feet deep, but the more important thing is that it was built on what was some very soft soil that was almost clay-like soil. And in the north side of where the tower was built, the soil was compact and very hard. But on the south side, it was loose. So what happened was over time, the south side started to dip. And that poor foundation is what led to this tower leaning in the first place. And we see from that foundations are important. If you're going to build something, you should consider the foundation first. That's the first thing that we should consider. And that's what we're going to be talking about today, is the foundation. And we're going to be asking this question, what is our foundation in life? We're continuing our series on the Sermon on the Mount called Building on the Rock. This is actually the last message of the series. We're concluding the whole series here. And we are actually concluding with where we started. If you remember the very first sermon of this whole series, I read this passage because this is what Jesus had to say. He said, those who listen to what I'm going to say are people who build their lives on the rock. And then Jesus spends all this time talking about a lot of different issues. We talked about a lot of them. I put the slide up last week about all the different issues that Jesus talks about in this sermon. And to be completely honest, there's probably more that Jesus actually talked about. If you take just these three chapters and you read them like beginning to end, it probably only takes about 10 to 15 minutes to read, and Jesus probably spent like all afternoon talking. So this is probably a condensed version of what he had to say. Matthew kind of condensed some of what Jesus had to say, but we get this message, and he covers all of these different topics, and then he says, so what are you going to do with it? And he gets to his conclusion, and we started looking at the conclusion last week, where Jesus said you kind of have two options with what to do with all of this. You can take the broad path and the broad gate, which is living life your own way, rejecting what I have to say, and just living your own life. And he says that's going to lead to destruction. Or you can take the narrow path and the narrow gate, the way that comes through following after me. And he says if you follow that, you'll lead to life. And he created this contrast for us. And the question is, what do we do with what Jesus has to say? And he's going to kind of return to that with this second illustration that we're going to look at this morning. that also kind of lays out two different ideas for us and asks this question, what are you going to do with all that Jesus has said? And he does that by describing a wise man and a foolish man and how they build their house. Now, before I get into the passage, I do just want to back up a little bit and talk about the fact that wisdom and folly is something that is very recurring throughout the entire Bible, especially in the book of Proverbs, this idea of what does the wise person do and what does the foolish person do. And the wise person is someone who does life the right way, while a foolish person is someone who does life the poor way, maybe the shortcuts, maybe the ways that may seem faster in the short term, but are going to hurt in the long term. So Jesus kind of pulls from that idea to talk about this idea of wisdom for us today. And he does it by talking about how they build their house and what the foundation is that they lay. I'm going to start reading Matthew chapter 7, starting in verse 24. Jesus says, "Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who builds his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on the house, but it did not fall, because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against the house, and it fell, and great was its fall." And when Jesus finished these sayings, the crowds were astonished at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one who had authority, and not as their scribes. So Jesus gives us this last picture, and he talks about how people build their house. He says the wise man, he builds his house on a rock, and the foolish person builds his house on the sand. Now, to kind of understand a little bit of the context as to what Jesus would have been talking about, back in that area at that time, life was very arid, which means there wasn't a lot of rain. So because of that, there was this temptation to not really think about the rain coming when you were building a house. And, you know, maybe you would just build it kind of closer to the water because that would be kind of easier for you. So you'd build it on the sand. But wise builders, they would take the time and they would build it in the cliffs and on rocks. And the reason that they would do that is because even though it didn't rain very often, the result of that was that the ground was very hard, so that when it did rain, the ground didn't absorb the water. So there was the high tendency for flash floods. Floods that come in quick and do a lot of damage quickly and then leave. And because of that, those who built their house on rocks would have the floods pass right by them, but those who built their house on sand, they would be leaving themselves open for their entire house to get destroyed. And that's the kind of the picture that Jesus paints for us. He says, okay, so there's this wise person who builds their house on a rock, this foolish person who builds their house on the sand, and then the rain comes and the wind blows and the storm hits, and one house survives and one house doesn't. And he leaves this question then for us, and this is the question: what is our foundation? Is our foundation the building our lives on the rock, the foundation that Jesus is talking about, is someone who listens to God and builds their life God's way? And those who build their house on the sand is like someone who lives for themselves and doesn't listen to God and builds their house their way. And Jesus says, how are you going to build your house? What is the way you're going to build your house? Are you going to do it God's way or your way? That's kind of the question that's going to get left before us. So we're going to look at three specific things about this morning that all kind of wrap back to that original question. What are you going to do with Jesus' message? The first thing that we want to see right off the bat, and this is just kind of an observation, is that the hard times will come. The picture that's up here on the screen, by the way, is actually out in our parking lot just about a month ago. We had a big flood out here in our parking lot. Luckily, the buildings were fine. Everything was high. But we had a flood come up in our parking lot. And, you know, at times, rain does come. That's how it works. Hard times will come. What's interesting in this story is rain comes on both the wise man and the foolish man. It's not like the wise man gets out of the rain, right? If you build your life on God, that doesn't mean that rain won't come. It doesn't mean that hard times won't come. There's some people that actually preach, hey, if you follow God, that everything is going to be A-okay in your life. You're never going to have any problems. And the problem is the Bible doesn't teach that. In fact, the Bible teaches quite the opposite. The Bible teaches that the more you follow after God, the more problems are going to come up in your life. In John chapter 16, verse 33, Jesus says, I've said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. But take heart, I've overcome the world. Jesus is saying to his disciples, hey, listen, you're going to have hard times. Hard times are going to come. When we read the pages of the Bible, we see that over and over as people who try to follow after God come across hard times. Joseph, who follows after God, ends up where? As a slave and then in prison. Daniel, who's following after God, praying to God, for the very fact that he was praying, ends up in the middle of a lion's den. People like Peter and Paul, for their faith in God, get put in prison, get beaten multiple times. Many of the disciples gave their lives and died for the sake of Jesus. So just because you're following God does not mean that you're not going to have any hard times. In fact, because you follow God, hard times will find you. Hard times are going to come. And you know, the way Jesus describes these hard times here is like a storm, right? And I think that's a really good analogy because storms are not fun. They're something that destroys a lot, that causes a lot of damage, that leaves you devastated. If many of you guys remember, back in 2012, when Hurricane Sandy hit the Jersey Shore, hit Ocean City and Atlantic City, and it did tons of damage. In fact, it left 8.5 million people without power. It caused $71 billion in damage, and it took the lives of 147 people. One storm did all of that damage. And you know, we have storms in our lives, and it does damage. It hurts. It does not easy. I don't know what anyone here is going through. You might feel like you're in the middle of a storm right now. Maybe it's a physical storm. Maybe you have some physical ailment, or maybe something's happening to you emotionally or mentally, and you just feel like you're in the middle of it all. And that's hard. It's not easy. It's devastating. And hard times are going to come on all of us. But that brings me to the second point. This is kind of the point that Jesus is trying to get at here, right? It's when hard times come, our foundation matters. When hard times come, our foundations matter. Now, what's interesting here, if you think about it, when these houses are built, from the surface, when things are going well, the houses look very similar to each other, don't they? You know, they're both nice houses. They both have a roof. They both have doors. They both have windows. You know, they're both nice houses when everything's going good. And a lot of times I think that people in general are like that as well. You know, when times are going good, you can kind of get away with however you want to live your life. You know, if you want to build your life on your wealth or your possessions or a relationship or a hobby or different things like that, if you want to build your life on that, when things are going well, you know, you can kind of get away with it. When things are going well, nobody really seems to notice. But when do people notice? When things go wrong, when the storms hit, when the financial market crashes, when you lose a possession, when you lose a relationship. When those things happen, that's when your foundation matters the most. So what is the benefit? And this is kind of the question we have to ask, is why is there a benefit to building our lives on God? Why does that make a difference when the storm comes? Why would it make a difference when the storm comes? I'm going to give four quick reasons this morning, and this isn't everything that can be said about this topic. This is just kind of four quick reasons. The first reason is because when God is our foundation, we have a protector. He's the one who walks alongside of us, who is there to protect us and to shield us in the midst of all the storms of life. In Psalm chapter 61, verses 1 through 3, David, who's the psalmist, says, "Hear my cry, O God, listen to my prayer. From the ends of the earth I call to you, and my heart is faint." He's saying, listen, God, I am there in the middle of the storm. Everything seems to be going wrong. I feel like I'm on the ends of the earth. My heart is growing faint. And what does he do in that moment? He prays to God. He says, "Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For you have been my refuge, a strong tower against the enemy." He calls God his rock. He says, "Lead me to the rock that is higher than I," the high ground. In the midst of the storm, he wants the high ground. He wants a place of refuge. He wants the strong tower against the foe. You know, when we have a storm in today's world, where do you want to be? Do you want to be outside in the middle of the storm, or do you want to be inside where it's protected? And the answer, well, some of you guys might want to be out in the storm because you might think it's cool. But for most of us, we want to be inside, right? We want to be in the shelter so that we're not in the middle of the storm. And God is that shelter. He's the one to protect, to defend us in the midst of the hard times. The hard times will come, but God is there with us in those moments. The second reason is that we have direction, that because of God's word, we have a direction to know where to go in life. Psalm 119:105, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. There are many other verses I could give that say the same idea, that God's word is our guiding force in life. It is what guides us when we don't know what to do. And in moments when we're in the storm, it's even more important to have that guide, to have someone directing us, to have the word of God telling us what we should do in life. If you've ever been out driving in the middle of a storm when you can't see more than like 5 feet in front of you, and you're like, why am I even driving at this point in time? But you're stuck because you have to get somewhere. So you're driving in the storm. What makes the difference? Having a direction and knowing where you're going. It's a lot easier if you're going somewhere you've been before, if you're going somewhere you've never been before. It's almost impossible if you're in the middle of the storm, right? Because you don't know where you're going. You don't have direction. But having direction makes all the difference. And God's word gives us that direction. Because of God, we also have a community. When we're in the middle of the storm, when we're in the middle of difficulties in life, we have people that we can rely on. We have each other. In 1 Thessalonians 5:11, it says, therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, as each of you are doing. We have each other to build each other up. When we're going through the hard times, we can remember we're not going through it alone. And that, I think, is one of the big things, is often when we go through the hard times, we kind of tell ourselves, I'm in this by myself. Nobody else is there for me. I've got to manage this all by myself. We kind of play that game with ourselves mentally, but the truth is we're not alone. We have a community around us. And then the last thing that we have is a hope of the future, a hope that the storm is not the end. Every storm ends, and we have something after that storm. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17, Paul says, for this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comprehension. Think about that. That we have an eternal weight of glory. We have heaven and eternity with God to look forward to. And in light of that, what we go through, while it is difficult, while it is a storm, while it is hard, it has an end. And we know that after that end, we have something better. That is, it says, beyond all comparison. There's no comparison to what we have in the future. And we have that to look forward to. So the question that we then ask, right, is, are we building our foundation on God? If we're in the middle of the hard times, where do we lean? Do we lean towards God? Or do we lean towards ourselves or a possession or our wealth or something else that would take us away from God? In Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, the author says, for we have this as a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul. And in the previous verse, he talks about God's faithfulness to us and the fact that he can't lie. He says, we have this as a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul, a hope that enters into the inner place beyond the curtain. He describes God as our anchor. What keeps us grounded, what keeps us firm. You know, if you're on a ship in the middle of a storm, what do? You drop anchor. And why do you drop anchor in the middle of a storm? Because the wind and the storm will throw your ship in different directions. It may throw it completely off course. It may throw it aground or into some rocks that you don't want it to go. And so to prevent that from happening, you drop anchor. And that keeps you secure and firm in the middle of the storm. And God is our anchor. He's the one that we turn to during the storm, that he's the one who keeps us grounded. He's the anchor for our very souls. So if you're in the middle of a storm, my encouragement to you guys is go to God, run to God in the midst of your storms in life. He is the one that we can go to. He is the anchor of our souls. But what happens this morning if you say, well, I'm not in the middle of a storm, so what does this passage have to do with me? What if, I'm not in the middle of a storm today, so what do I do with this? And this is what I want to talk about in my third point, is I want to talk about the fact that we build a foundation now to prepare for the storms. You know, when we build, right, if you were to build something with your house and do some project on your house, you wouldn't do the project on your house in the middle of the storm, would you? No, that wouldn't be a good idea. That's not the time to make an addition to your house or to fix the roof or to fix the siding in your house. In the middle of the storm isn't going to do that. You do that when it's good, when it's sunny outside, when everything's going well. And that's what we see here in the story, right? Is the houses are built before the storm comes. So this is our chance before the storm comes to build a foundation in God. And how do we do that? And what's interesting is that foundation, this passage says foundations are built by doing. When you look at the difference between the wise man and the foolish man, the difference is, and this is what Jesus says, the wise man is someone who hears these words of mine and does them, while a foolish person hears these words of mine and does not do them. What's interesting is that both people hear God's word. And in fact, if you think about the world today, there's a lot of people who have heard God's word. Even this morning, in churches throughout America, people are hearing God's word. But you can hear God's word and still be the foolish person, right? Because the foolish person hears God's word and doesn't do anything about it. At the end of this section, in verses 28 and 29, you get kind of the summary of what happens after Jesus gives the message. And what happens is some people, or everyone who's listening, says, wow, that was pretty amazing. They're astonished at his words. They say he's speaking with authority. But what it doesn't say is that everyone did anything about it. Because not everyone did. Some people did. His disciples did. Those who wanted to follow after him did. But there were others who probably heard Jesus' message that day. They heard the very words of Jesus, and they walked away and lived their own life. And the reality is that's where a lot of people are even today. R.T. France, a commentator who I read throughout this entire series, he makes this comment to kind of summarize the whole thing. He says, the teaching of the Sermon on the Mount is not meant to be admired, but to be obeyed. And that's what Jesus is trying to say here. He's not trying to wow people with his words. He's trying to create people who live for him. It's built by doing. James picks up this idea in James chapter 1, verse 22, when he says, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Though we're supposed to be not just people who listen to God's word, but people who do something about it. In the following verses, he describes someone who looks into the mirror. And he looks into the mirror, he sees what's going on with his own life, and then he walks away and does nothing about it. And James says, that's like someone who hears God's word and then doesn't do anything. He says, but the one who looks intently at the mirror is like the person who listens to God's word and does something about it. He notices that his hair's all messed up and that he needs to brush his teeth and that he needs to fix something in his life because the mirror showed him what he needed to do. And that's what the word of God is designed to do. That's what Jesus' words are designed to do. They're designed to produce a reaction in us, not just to hear, but to do something about it. And that is how we build our lives, by following God's word. So then how do we do that? How do we take things from hearing God's word to doing God's word, right? Because that's ultimately the question we want to ask this morning, is how do we go from hearing to doing? And I'm going to give kind of four quick steps on how to do that. The first one is to be available. To put yourself in a location where you're going to hear God's word. Maybe that means coming to church on Sunday morning or going to Sunday school or small group or ladies' Bible study. Or going to one of the online resources. We have right now media, the people who teach God's word. There are many different sermon series out there by other pastors and preachers. Sometimes it just means opening up God's word and reading it for ourselves, not looking to hear God's word from other people, but actually reading God's word ourselves, doing our daily quiet time and devotion with the Lord. And for some of us, this might be even the hardest part of it all, right? Because we often don't feel like we're always available. We feel like we're busy. We feel like life catches up to us. We don't have time to study God's word because we have so many other things that have to come first. But what we're telling ourselves when we say that is, hey, it's not worth building the foundation in God's word. It's not worth building a foundation in God's word because I've got too many other things to work on. If you were going to build a house, you wouldn't skip doing the foundation so that you could spend more time on the windows. That's not how this works, right? You build the right foundation first, then you go from there. So we need to start by being available. The second step is to actively listen. to approach God's word every time you approach it with this expectation of, hey, I'm going to hear something today that's going to matter to me. And I'm going to look for that. There's this idea of expecting when you approach God's word. When you read God's word in your daily quiet times, when we share God's word from the pulpit or from one of our Sunday school classes, we have this expectation that God's word matters into our lives. I start off all of my sermons with a prayer, and that prayer is simple, that we would hear God's word during the message. But to do that, we have to actively listen. We have to actually pay attention, sit up, pay attention. For those of you who like to take notes, taking notes, listening and being involved in what is being said. I'm going to be honest with you guys. Sometimes this is difficult. You know, I'm guilty of being in the position where, you know, I turned on a message or something on Right Now Media on my laptop, and I was playing that, but I was like, I want to do this other thing while I listen. So I start on this other project, and like 10 minutes in, I realize I'm not even listening to what's playing anymore, right? Because I'm so caught up in my other project that like I've completely stopped listening. But that's not how we're gonna grow. I'm not gonna get anything when that happens. And in fact, the more often that we do that, the more often we teach ourselves, mentally and habitually, we teach ourselves that God's word is a background issue, and not a foreground issue. And if you want God's word to be a foreground issue, that means you have to be involved and actively listen and actively say, okay, what am I hearing from God's word this morning? And that brings us to kind of the third point. This is when we turn listening into starting to do something. And that's when we look for some change in our lives. We look for something in our life that we're hearing from this passage. And we say, what is one thing in my life that I could change from this passage? What is one thing in my life that maybe I'm not doing the way that I should be doing? I'm not honoring God in this area of my life. What is just one thing that you could take from this message that we could work on? This is really something that we have built into us as a church. We have a Sunday school class led by Joe Fedora that pretty much deals with this question. It's kind of a review of the message and then kind of a, okay, what do we do with this message? Where do we go with it? How does this impact our lives? How is this going to impact Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday of this week? And we need to ask ourselves that question, and we need to look for an answer. And to be honest, we might not always find it, but we need to always be looking. Because the more you look, the more you will find it. But if we're not even looking, then we'll never find it. And that brings us to the last step, and this is kind of the most practical part. Then put that into action, right? It's one thing to sit before God's word and say, here's something that I need to change in my life, and then move on with your life. I think, you know, a lot of times we're guilty of completely forgetting what's in God's word 10 minutes after we close God's word, or 15 minutes after we close God's word. But if we do believe that we're supposed to be doers of God's word and not hearers only, then we have to do something, right? We got to take action. We got to say, okay, here's one thing that I'm going to do, and let me do it. And here's how I'm going to do it. And taking steps, making a plan to take action. Now, I do want to kind of put out kind of a caution behind that. What I'm not saying is that every time we approach God's word, we need to be completely different people when we're done, right? It's not like every time you approach God's word, your entire life needs to be changed. That's not what I'm saying. But I am saying that as we approach God's word, little things need to change. One of the things that I heard this past week, I was actually listening to somebody on YouTube talking about a completely different thing. He was talking about NFL stuff, which I'm into. But he was talking about NFL stuff. But he was saying one thing that he does is he always tries to be 1% better than he was last time. And I wonder, like, if we took that approach, every time we approach God's word, if we were 1% better than we were last time. Over one day to another day, maybe 1 week to another week, there wouldn't be much notice. But from 1 year to another year, from now till 5 years down the road, there would be dramatic differences. That's why we have to view God's word. It's not like every time we approach God's word, we're looking to be completely radically transformed, but we're looking to be molded and shaped differently. Another way of saying that would be, I think oftentimes we need to approach God's word like eating right and exercising, right? If you eat right and exercise for one day, you're not going to lose 30 pounds. Like, one day is not going to do that. But if you do it every day over the course of weeks and months and years, then you will lose the weight. You will get healthy. And it's like that with God's word. You know, we don't need to be completely radically transformed every time, but if we're just changed a little bit, changed a little bit, changed a little bit, then over the course of time, we will have a healthy spiritual life with God, and we'll be more and more like Him. That's what it means to build a foundation. It's not like we do all this at one moment, but we build a foundation by continuing to approach God's Word and saying, how can I change my life based off God's Word? But we need to then take action. There's a song by Casting Crowns. It's a pretty old song now. It's one of their early albums, but it's called The Altar and the Door. And the whole theme of the song is the person singing the song says, I'm in church, and I'm coming before the altar, and I'm crying because I'm realizing how much God's Word matters to me. And then he makes this statement. He says, but my eyes are dry before I even leave the door. And he says, when I go out of the church, I make no impact on my life. You know, what happened in the church doesn't matter outside the doors of the church. That's not the way it's supposed to be. We need to make what happens when we approach God's Word, what happens in church and in Sunday school, and every time we hear God's Word, we need to make that matter in our lives. So that's the end of the whole series that we've been working on. And there's a simple question that's before us, right? Jesus has talked about quite a bit, but the question is, what do we do with it? Are we just going to hear it and move on? Or are we going to build our lives on it? Because storms will come. And at that point in time, it matters how we built our lives. Let's close in prayer. Lord, we praise you that you're there for us. We praise you that as we build our lives on you, as hard times come, Lord, we have you as our refuge, as our shelter, as our guide, as the one leading us along through the storm. We have this hope before us, this glorious hope of eternity with you. And Lord, I pray for anyone here this morning who's going through the hard time, who's in the middle of the storm. I pray that you would surround them with your presence, that you would surround them with your comfort, that you would surround them with your protection. Lord, I pray that we would look to you in the midst of our storms in life. But then, Lord, I also pray for everyone here this morning who isn't in the middle of the storm. Lord, I pray that we would use this opportunity to build our lives now on the right thing, to build our lives on you and your word, and not just be hearers of your word, not just be ones who hear it and move on with our lives, but be people who hear your word and do something about it, that your word would change us as people. Lord, we praise you that you give us your word. We pray that we would be people who respond to it the appropriate way. We pray all these things in your name. Amen.
Christ alone and his word is our firm foundation, the rock on which we can stand. Please stand as we sing together.
As we close out this morning, the question that's before us is, what do we do with God's word? What do we do with all of these things? If you feel like you need someone to talk to, you need someone to pray with you over these things, we have people up front who would love to take time and talk with you and pray with you about these things, because we don't want this to be something that we have here in the service and you forget 20 minutes, 1 hour later. We want it to be something that matters to you, that you build your life on. And Lord, as we close out this morning, I want to end with the words that this song has, that this song ends with. We praise you that no power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck us from your hand. Until you return or call us home, here in the power of Christ we stand. Amen.